Hello and welcome to Pancreas Pals. I'm Emily, a writer.
And I'm Miriam, a licensed mental health counselor.
We're just two type 1 diabetics trying to live our best lives.
It's not always easy with the literal highs and lows.
But it does help to have a Pancreas Pal to turn to.
Hi guys, welcome to Pancreas Pals. Emily here.
And Miriam.
And this week's very special guest, as I say every week, this one's actually very special because it is none other than my twister, my twin sister, my roommate, Laura Goldman.
Hi. I hate everything about that.
I was about to say, I wish the listeners could see Laura's eye roll. I hope you felt it. While Emily was giving that intro.
There's always a constant level of disdain emanating from Laura whenever she's too close to me, and we are pretty close together trying to get both on this mic.
But also, thank you for having me.
There we go.
Woohoo!
Mom, if you're listening, you should be proud.
Yeah. Shut up.
I am very excited for this episode because I feel like I've been wanting this for a long time to get a sense of the twin experience when one twin's pancreas works and the other one less so. And so this is a very exciting time for me as the co-host. And I feel like we should just, for the listeners, I feel like we should just get a baseline understanding of your voices so they can distinguish. So let's do a test. This is Emily.
Hey guys, you should remember my voice because I'm the one always talking who never stops. But Laura and I do have very similar voices. So this again is Emily, as Miriam stated.
Oh, great. And now this is Laura.
Hey guys. I'm kidding. It's Laura here. We do have similar voices, I think, but hopefully some inflections are different. Unclear, but we'll see.
For those of you who haven't been following us on Instagram or haven't been following along like super closely, Laura is a constant in all of our posts and tags, and obviously I live with her, a constant meaning that she's always there, not necessarily that she's like,
I'm never in any of your posts.
Oh my God, stop. Okay,
you ding dong.
She's always in our Instagram stories, and she's always in the background and around because we live together and we are fraternal twins. So for those of you wondering, hey, what does that mean? I never took a biology class. That's chill. Basically I'm going to get all gross up in this, but a fraternal
it's not
twins.
Gross. Do it.
Nature.
We are from two separate eggs that we were born at the same time. I'm 12 minutes older. It's chill. It's fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine. But identical twins look exactly alike because they are literally a split egg, split embryo. Mm-hmm. So we are basically just sisters born at the same time, mm-hmm. is what you
would
say. That's
what I was going to say.
Identical is, this is the concise version. Identical is one egg, one sperm.
Ew. Sorry. I don't know why sperm really grosses me out.
Okay, whatever. Just listen. And then
the word sperm.
No, but genetically, you guys are just like any old sisters, but you happen to share the womb at the same time and were born the same day.
Exactly. And, you know, as we always state, we're not doctors, to take everything we say about this twinship with a grain of salt. But
also, I feel like no one is listening to this to learn what a twin is, but we like to give background.
I mean, I just don't want people to be like, okay, so the reason why I brought this up actually is because there are a lot, and by a lot, I mean definitely a handful of identical type 1 diabetic twins, and both typically have type 1 diabetes in their twinships. You know, there is quite a few that I can think of, but you know, we're fraternal, and it's very interesting, even though I'm sure many doctors would say have reasons ready as to why we don't both have type 1. Most of the fraternal twins I know, who one twin has type 1, the other one actually does not. So another reason why Laura should be grateful that we are not identical, aside from the fact that she doesn't have to have my face.
Oh my God, don't talk about my friend that way.
Oh my God, she's never called me her friend before. This is a first. Write it down.
All right.
5:14 p.m.
Guys, let's not make a big deal about this, okay?
But Laura, interestingly enough,
please share my medical history.
I don't have to if you don't.
No, do it.
Laura was the first one to have a bout of insulin resistance, if you will, in high school, dealing with another chronic illness. And I remember thinking, she was told that she had to monitor her amount of carbs and like monitor her blood sugar to an extent.
So
I didn't want to, I'm not going to share your story.
So yeah, no, I can share my own story. So I have had PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome, since junior year of high school. And I went, and this was the same endocrine in Jacksonville that Emily ended up going to.
That was misdiagnosed.
Yes. But they said, sorry, I just went, but and you said,
but
anyways, sorry. Sorry. That was really funny and it distracted me. Sorry. So yeah, so I had PCOS and that was like sophomore, junior year of high school. And they told me that there are three like side effects or like three
factors that contribute to a diagnosis of PCOS that doesn't involve actually going in and looking at your ovaries.
No, there are two. The third one is to do the ultrasound. But if your testosterone levels are high, LOL. And
that's not rare. That's very often the case for a lot of women and men.
Testosterone is higher. But I'm on so many meds now. So it's the testosterone and then your glucose. Thank you. Your elevated glucose. And so they told me that if I didn't watch what I eat, I would get diabetes. And I like freaked out.
Type 2? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would get type 2. But also, they didn't really distinguish, and I didn't really know the difference.
No one distinguished, for us.
So I was freaking out, being like, I'm definitely going to get diabetes. Mm-hmm. I love to eat everything fried and sugary.
Which I will say, Laura's diet, especially at that point in our lives, she was a much pickier eater than I ever was, and she definitely loved the carbs, which, now we know doesn't necessarily contribute to type 1, type 2. That doesn't really play as much of a factor. It doesn't.
But it made it a more challenging diagnosis and shift, kind of realizing, oh, I need to shift my whole diet now.
So they were like, you need to go on a low-carb diet of 150 grams of carbs per day. Just 150 grams.
Mm-hmm.
Which to Laura
was my entire, like, that was a snack.
That was like one meal.
Yeah. Just a snack.
And for those like non-type ones that are listening, it's counting carbs adds up a lot more quickly than you'd expect, especially when you factor in fruit and things that are considered nutritious and good for you.
And carbs aren't bad. It's just the type. Yeah, but it does add up quickly.
So here I am sitting in the car when Laura got this diagnosis, freaking out that she had to monitor her carbs. And I'm just thinking to myself, God.
Oh, and I had
could
to do,
never do that.
And you had to do sticks, right?
Yeah, I did.
So I'm sitting there like, Emily, oh my God, thank God I don't have to do this. Think like, oh, I could never do that. Oh, that's awful. And then LOL.
Karma.
Three years.
Oh, just get it.
Three
Are you
years.
To say that?
No. Miriam.
Sorry. It was just a joke.
I know. I'm upset. 3 years later. Mm. 2 years later, I started developing symptoms and was not. Everyone head back to season 1, episode 1 to hear that whole story. I'm not going to go through that again. But eventually I had my diagnosis about 3 or 4 years later with type 1. And I'm like, LOL, what?
And then I was like, thank God have type 1.
Yes. This is going off topic a little bit, but isn't one of the medications that they often prescribe for PCOS is metformin, right?
Which I'm on, baby. That's one of the medications.
Woohoo. So it's kind of, it is interesting. These things are kind of oddly linked in a lot of ways. Diabetes and that. And I'm curious what a geneticist or a doctor would think about the two of you. But I guess.
I mean, we do both have thyroid disease.
Right. I have hypothyroidism.
Yeah. She has the other kind of thyroid. Whereas like we have Hashimoto's. She has the other one. No, we have the same kind.
But. Yours is, I think, mine's just more severe.
One's autoimmune, one's just, like, doing its own thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but to – so I guess to dive in, I'm curious, Laura, and you kind of touched on it, but when Emily was diagnosed with – and I know it was a long diagnosis, so once it became clear she has type 1 diabetes, this is her new lifestyle, this is the gadgets she has to use and insulin, et cetera, what was your reaction and feelings about that time period? Because you're in college.
Right. I didn't really.
We went to separate schools.
Yes.
For college.
Yes. We both went to school up north. I was probably a two-hour train ride away, but I didn't have to really think about it on hand, like, firsthand experiencedly. I don't know how to say that in proper English. I didn't have to
think about... But on a day-to-day, you didn't have to deal with it.
Right. On a day-to-day, I did not have to think actively about Emily's blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And she would always say things like, you know, I have scared to lock my door because if my blood sugar's low and I don't wake up, somebody won't be able to come in my room and, like...
I lived in a... Yeah. I mean, there are there are varying levels of college where, like, situations that, like, we can have a whole other episode, which we've had in the past, but I think it would be fun to revisit our college experiences. Yeah. We should definitely have a thing on that. But, like, Laura and I lived together until we were 18. We shared a bathroom. We went to the same high school. And then, like, any freshman adjusting to college was hard enough, obviously, and being apart for the first time. Like, Laura told no one she had a twin, and, like, I told everyone about my twin. So if
I don't remember that.
I do. Apparently you just called me your sister, and I called everyone my twin. I told everyone she was my twin, and Laura was just like, this is my sister. And they were all, like, so confused to find out.
Well, I just am more used to saying sister. Hey, this is my sister. I feel like saying twin is weird.
Well, I still do it, so sorry, not sorry.
I think now I say twin, because I'm like, it's cool.
Also, we live together. I mean, there's varying things. We're getting off topic. Yeah, we're getting really off topic. Anyways, how did you feel? How did you feel when I was diagnosed?
Yeah, so.
Like, because we were.
Apart.
No, we were together when I was officially diagnosed. We were both in Jacksonville, weren't we? Or were you not home yet?
I don't remember.
I remember driving our older sister.
So clearly it was so traumatic, she's blocked it from her memory.
Yeah, that's what it was. No, I mean, it was traumatic for the whole family, I think.
Honestly, you're going to kill me. But I was like, I didn't know that it was as involved as it is.
Yes.
Like, I thought it was going to be similar to type 2. So when she got it, I was like, ha, that's what you get for making fun of me.
I'm not going to kill you. I think that's funny. And I'm sure a lot of people.
I feel really bad saying that out loud.
No, I mean, everyone listening, don't get up in arms and cancel Laura.
Oh my God, no. Obviously, anyone who's had a sibling ever knows that feeling.
Yeah. It could have been like, I stubbed my toe after making fun of her stubbing her toe. It's like the equivalent. Like, we didn't fully grasp.
Right.
Or she didn't fully grasp the level of seriousness.
So then after college, when we. Sorry if this is going to go. If you have other questions that are similar, but.
Well, I guess. Well, I'll ask that. So. Pause before we get into that, but so Emily, how was it for you having to disclose this to your twin? Or not that it was like a secret, but having to explain it to her, where you've, you know, previously shared so much stuff, and now to have this thing that only you had to deal with
before she answers. Before she answers, I just want to say I don't remember her telling me at all. Well, I have no recollection.
I don't remember. Okay, so I think...
Because I feel like you might not have fully grasped what was going on either. It was probably not this big announcement versus just like, I'm going to all these doctor's appointments, no one can figure out what's wrong with me.
Right. I mean, I consider my diagnosis the day that they officially got it right. And that I remember very clearly. And I remember my mom and I in the car or in the endocrinologist's office. They came back with like my elevated A1C, which looking back wasn't even that bad. I think I had been going... into DKA at that point, but my A1C was like 8.9. So like,
okay,
we know stories of people who are like 15. You know, like thinking back, it's
and you weren't like an acute DKA either.
I was almost going into DKA.
It was like a slow burn.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Sorry. So it was a slow burn, but at the same time, there were a lot of things that doesn't get anyone off the hook. I tested positive for like the antibodies, like a year ahead. Like and it was a slow burn because they made me cut out all carbs. So I have been feeling really crappy, and I mean, I'm sure this affected my relationship with a lot of people, because when you cut out all carbs and you don't feel well for a year, it makes you moody. And also, like, I was in college. There's just so many things. But I remember I was with my mom. My mom started crying when I got my diagnosis, and then I'm crying, and the doctor had the worst bedside manner ever, and she was just like, do you want an insulin pump? You need to figure this out in the next few months. Like, right now, here, you can't leave until you inject yourself with this insulin. And I'm like, I don't want an insulin pump. I don't want to inject myself. What the hell is going on?
Yeah.
And we have, like, doctors in the family who were supportive, and they were like, oh, this really isn't that big of a, like, it's a big deal, but it's not that big of a deal.
You'll be okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I just think my mom called my dad on our way home. I don't know where Laura was. Like, again, I was 20 years old when I got this diagnosis.
I have no idea where I was.
We were home for summer break for, like, 2 days before we were flying up to New York for our internships, like, our first summer in New York for internships. I had an internship at Marie Claire, and I had remember injecting myself with insulin in the fashion closet. LOL. That's a fun story. But Laura had an internship somewhere else, and we were, you know, so when I got my diagnosis, even though you weren't there in the doctor's office with me, we lived together that summer. And I remember having my mm-hmm. first really bad low blood sugar right. and Laura had to run out and get some orange juice. Like, I was like mm-hmm. 38 or 40 or something.
I remember that.
Yeah. And it was like really scary because
but I also was like, how bad is this?
That's the thing. That's the thing that I think of people, a lot of people don't get. When you don't, it could be with your sibling. It could be mm-hmm. with your significant other. It could be a stranger on the street. I think it's really hard to empathize when you physically just don't know what someone else is going through. Mm-hmm. And I think that this has taught, I can't speak for Laura, but it's taught me that you really can't tell what other people are going through. And like, you could look fine and be standing up, but like feel like absolute crap and like, you know, have a feel super disgusting for like an entire day after a super bad blood sugar, whether it be super high, super low, whatever. And I think that in our family, it's like we're all very on top of.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something nice about me specifically.
I will. Just let me talk. My favorite thing to do is to chit chat. But I think in our family, the biggest thing is, like, we're all very aware of, like, medical issues and, like, we're on top of it. And we're very mm-hmm. privileged in that our entire lives, like, we'll be taken to, like, our parents are on top of it. And they would take us to the doctor if we didn't feel well. Yeah. But there's only so much empathy you can give and understand when you have no idea what something is like. And mm-hmm. for the rest of my family, like, I went back to school. My parents didn't really want me to, was my understanding, for like a semester. They asked me if I wanted to take a semester off, and they were like, you know, like, hey, let's think about this. This is a big
thing. They did?
Yeah, well, because we were going abroad the next semester. It was like a whole thing.
Oh, I was not there for that conversation.
I mean, well, I don't think they were serious about it, but they were like, if you want to do this, like, that's mm-hmm. fine. And I was like, absolutely not. This isn't going to stop me. Like, F that. Which is completely fine if you do want to take a semester off. Yeah. Everyone handles everything differently, and I kind of had tunnel vision, and that's just the way I deal with things. But Laura, to this day, is probably one of the only people in my family who fully understands
the day-to-day.
The day-to-day. And it is because we live together.
Yeah, because I'm even, here day-to-day.
But even in college, I feel like you were more understanding. I think it's just...
I just don't like confrontation.
Oh, my God, stop. But I think, like...
At least in college,
so she just nods along and pretends you understand.
I think that when you're a twin and you're close, like, Laura and I definitely get in a ton of fights and we annoy the living crap out of each other, but we're still close. Like,
I don't like talking about our feelings.
We're not talking about our feelings. Just calm down. it's... we read each other more easily. Like, when when something's off, you know, like, my older sister might not be able to tell, but Laura and I are, like, communicating mm-hmm. in our own way.
It's yeah. so funny that...
We freak people out.
Because of COVID and the masks, and we used to mouth things to each other, and we can read each other's lips because we've been doing it for so long, and yeah. nobody else really realizes what
they
we're saying.
We have our own, like, level of communication, but we just, like, can read each other's faces so well. It's not like we have uh-huh. a made-up... language. Like, it's literally like we're just mouthing things and then we know how each other would react with things.
But now uh-huh. that there are masks, it's just the eyes, and so I can only tell the emotion and not what she's saying. So I can tell when she's pissed off or like if something crazy just happened and I gotta uh-huh. look around everywhere. Yeah, but yeah, but,
I mean, the same kind of goes for my diabetes too. Like, she'll be like, are you okay? Like,
mm-hmm.
you good?
Yeah, if you're having, like, a high blood sugar and you feel like shit, I feel right. like you're able to see the shifts in her mood more.
Right.
More and, like, quickly than others
would.
And I'm,
would. Like, biting her head off when I feel
like,
low.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, like, annoying for me when, but I understand it now.
Yeah.
So it's not, like, I'm allowed to be annoyed, but you're also allowed to freak out because you might die. Like,
yeah.
I mean,
everyone's feelings are valid.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say.
You know, the way my boyfriend handles things versus the way Laura handles things, it's like very different, which I think is a very, would be an interesting episode just to have, like, how Steve handles things versus how your siblings do. It's like there's so much more compassion, at least.
Am I not compassionate?
Whereas Laura's like, okay, she needs five, like, just give it a minute. Matt's like, oh my god, can I get you anything? There's also,
which,
like,
and there's a place for each of those things. Yeah. Like, sometimes being too caretaker, it's like, oh, right, just leave me alone. Whereas Laura, living with her every day, you're like, yeah, give her
I'm like,
five.
Do you need a mango slice? Tell me now, because I'm going to the pantry.
Or she'll...
Speak now, or...
Yeah.
I think one of the most annoying things about living, or just, like, having your twin with, and, like, me having type 1 and her being, like...
Oh, I know exactly what you're going
to
say.
She eats my low snacks. And I have to say, I think that's one of the biggest, I think that's one of, she doesn't do it all the time.
I resent this.
And she knows not to for the most part, but she'll be like, can I have some Skittles? I have my Skittles out because I'm trying to treat a low. Or like.
Generally, just ask, because I never know if you might say yes one day.
Sometimes
I don't know.
I do, which is fair. Like, that's a me thing I need to do.
For the
like,
most part, I know that if we're going to get you low snacks. If you get low snacks, I'm just going to get an extra Skittles for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Laura
so don't
never,
say that.
She's never shied away from eating, like, a whole bunch. Like, if my blood sugar's really high, she'll still eat, like, three donuts. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
okay,
like, that's
I
fine.
Have never.
No, that's but we fine. Would. No, but, like, that's the kind of thing that I'd want. I wouldn't want someone to be, like.
I don't want to eat this in front of you.
Or, like, you know, my parents or my older sister, like, just because they don't live with me day to day, and there is so much misinformation available, like, maybe not even misinformation, but also, like, different people handle the disease in different ways.
They'll like, go, yes. If we're, like, out to dinner, sorry, mom and dad, love you. If we're out to dinner and I always want dessert, but I'll look to my dad and go, dessert? And then he'll look to my mom and go, And my mom will look at Emily and then go,
probably
let's
not.
Skip.
I'm like,
aw.
And I'm like, no, we can get the damn dessert. Like, now they understand for the most part.
Sorry. Yeah. I feel like that's really messed up for me to say.
No, but it's the reality. And I think anyone diagnosed above the age of, you know, above a certain age does deal with these
so
things.
Then whenever we go out, I'm like, Emily, let's get dessert, and she'll be like, I'm high, and I'll be like, cool, so you can have a sliver and I'll have the rest.
I mean, I'm not
let me eat my cake.
Yeah. And for those listening, like, I do eat dessert sometimes when I'm high. I do eat dessert all the time, like, yeah. Or not like it, I treat it like I do my normal day-to-day.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like there's no right or wrong, there's just what works for you. And I think that when you are living with your twin, they just are able to see more. So, like, you've been with Stove for how long? Sorry, Stove. How long have you been with Steve?
What year is it? Like, 5.5 years.
So, like, at this point,
congrats.
Obviously you've been married for, like, a year and a half now, right?
Yes. Almost
two. 2 years, yeah. He knows, and he's a doctor, but, like, that aside, because doctors don't really know much about endocrinology unless they're endocrinologists.
Can confirm, yeah.
Hot take. You guys can read each other to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But there's a different type of reading each other when you've been in the world.
When you have this twin vibe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know what your question was, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm also curious, like, now, since you've been living together post-college, which has been
five years almost.
Yeah. I'm going to throw up. That's ridiculous. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
since that, and you have obviously had to see the day-to-day of type 1 diabetes, and I know you don't like talking about feelings, but I'm going to ask about them anyways.
She's a therapist.
Are there times that you feel, like, do you ever get nervous? Do you ever get afraid? Or are you pretty confident with the diabetes stuff? Like, if Emily is really nervous about something or very calm about something, do you tend to just sort of match her feelings, or do you try to
disassociate?
Like, if you see Emily really, really low, and I don't know if this has happened to the point where she's so low where you, like, can't quite figure out what you should do.
Right.
Like, how do you handle those situations?
She asked me. Sorry, Emily is getting ready to speak.
Yeah.
But I think What was the question?
That, ladies and gentlemen, answers your question.
I'm curious, like, how you handle the more, just the mundane stuff, but the more, like, emergent issues. Like, if her insulin pump isn't working and her blood sugar's skyrocketing, or if it's, you know, dropping dramatically.
So, I think that's probably the difference between me and other people dealing with it, is that I have confidence that Emily will figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really freak out that much. If it is really low, there's like a part of the back of my brain that freaks out, but then the rest of me is like, what's the likelihood that this is actually going to happen? But then the inner conflict is like, why would you think that now it's going to happen? But
anxiety is a family trait.
Oh, yeah. But there was, I remember there was a time when I was 5 or 6 blocks away, and I had just gotten, I needed to drop something off somewhere, and I had just gotten there, and then I was going to stay, it was at a comedy club, but I was going to stay for like 30 minutes, and I got a phone call saying, and it was Emily, and like, if it's Emily, or anybody in our family, I'm going to pick up. So she just goes, I'm 50 and I'm dropping.
It was one of those 50, for people listening, they're probably like, oh, I'm 50 right now and I feel fine. It was one of those where it's like,
that you really feel.
You're really dropping and you really feel. And I had a lot of insulin on board.
And I think
I was freaking out.
I think I said, do I have to come back?
And I was like.
And then she said, no, but I would appreciate it. And then I think that, like, clicked. And I was like, I probably shouldn't have said that and should probably just be there for her if, you know, just to be there. So now whenever she's low and is texts me or calls me or whatever, I drop what I'm doing and run.
Because it doesn't really – okay, let's reframe this a little bit, because I don't think – I don't want anyone listening thinking that, like, I'm, like – codependent,
that she's like a baby about her lows.
Yeah, like no, oh, like no. I don't want no, so no. Like, that has only happened maybe once or
if
twice.
I'm really busy, she won't even text me.
Oh my god. I only reach out to, I almost never reach out to family because they have my Dexcom, so they my alerts with them are all like 55, like urgent lows.
But also, sorry, I'm interrupting you on purpose. Generally somebody else will be, generally you're not alone, like if
I don't have a lot of alone time. Either I'm with Matt or I'm with you. Or I'm
saying
working.
Like, she can be alone, she can go in her room, I can go in my room, whatever, she can be alone if she wants, but I'm just saying there's always usually somebody there within the vicinity that can hear her alarms.
We're making this sound so much more urgent than it is.
Well, she asked about the specifically urgent cases.
Okay, I know, but here's the thing. So what I do want people to know, because I feel like a lot of people will sympathize with this, is Laura's fear of glucagon, of administering anything.
Oh, yeah.
Even Baqsimi, just like learning how she continues. She's great because she, like, I'll make her watch it.
I was about to say,
I have tutorial videos. Yeah,
I was like, I'm not great.
But in any, like, in case something happens, I want to have confidence that she will deliver.
Right.
And I just hope that nothing like that happens. But, like, for those of you that live with, like, a friend or your sibling, like, the glucagon was much scarier because needles freak a lot of people out.
And it requires more, like, you had to, like, you had to mix stuff. It was more
That's what worried me. I don't care about stabbing you.
I know.
It was, like, the cut. It's, like, there's multiple steps before you even get to the
stabbing. Right. It's, like, I couldn't shake it, but I had to swirl it.
Yeah.
What the hell does that mean? Exactly what it sounds like.
No, but I think so, like, if anyone, like, if you're listening and you live with a sibling or, like, a loved one, like, hit me up and let me know that it's not just my loved ones that are terrified of glucagon, because it's like,
but now it's the nasal thing, right? And I just gotta shove it up
now
there.
It's much easier.
She, like, I've asked her multiple times to watch that video on how to do it.
The nasal one?
Yeah. Did you ever watch it?
I don't think you ever asked.
Yeah, I sent it to you.
Oh, and then I said I was gonna watch
it
later.
They also design it to be very straightforward because the idea is, like, a stranger on the street should be able to do it, you know?
Right.
So I have faith in you, Laura.
Thank you.
So, like, but
I hope. Me as a stranger, seeing it happen, I could do it.
I feel more confident. I feel very confident in Laura's ability to be a good ally to any type mm-hmm. one. I think regardless of any emergency situation.
That's so nice.
There, I mean, like, if you think about it, I just feel like you know so much more than, like, Liz and my older sister. But that's because we live together.
I love meeting all of the diabetes friends because they're always so shocked that I know so much.
And she'll text me and be like, oh, my God, I saw an Omnipod on the street.
Yeah,
oh my God,
I almost said something. I almost stopped a woman because I saw it on the back of her arm, but I was sitting down to eat and she was sitting down to eat and it's COVID. And I was like, probably shouldn't.
Was it me?
No.
Just kidding.
No, but that's what I was going to say. It's like you've always come to the, you know, JDRF events or whatever diabetes get-togethers we have. And you're a really good ally for all type 1 diabetics because you know the ins and outs. And that's always nice to,
thank you so
to
much.
Come across in the world. Like when you meet someone who knows about type 1 diabetes and not just like, oh, yeah, like my third cousin had it, I think. Like someone who my dog knows it. Yeah.
Somebody who knows it and yet is pancreatically capable.
Yeah, it's like so refreshing, and so you're a good ally in our community. And
thank you.
And this is hard. Like I imagine, you know, having a twin sister that you're living with is hard, no matter what health shit.
Yeah.
You know, lack thereof. But the fact that you have a chronic illness plopped in there, and so there's bound to be lots of feelings. I won't make you talk about them, but I could think of some feelings
so
that could come up. I can imagine some resentment. I can imagine guilt. I can imagine anger.
Don't get it twisted. There's resentment on both sides for sure. She ain't just a cakewalk either. But still, no. But let's be clear. That is any relationship.
Those are normal. Yeah. Exactly. And so I think you guys, watching you guys talk about diabetes and just talk about being twins in normal life, not on this podcast even, it's really inspiring. It's nice to see.
Oh my God, thank you. Can I just keep you in my pocket?
Let's end on that positive note.
Feeling low.
Before you go, let's get into the resentment.
Yeah. Get it? Feeling low.
Oh my God. Oh my God, I cannot. On that note, guys, feel free to follow Laura on Instagram.
Oh,
she's really funny.
She's really funny. She loves to bake. She loves to troll me.
Sorry, I was speaking over you. Can you all say that again, please?
Oh, follow Laura on Instagram. What are you at? LGold123. She's private, but she'll probably accept you.
I'm not private.
Oh, you public now. She'll text me or she'll just walk into my room and be like, oh my God, Emily, this diabetic person followed me. They're so cool. And I'm like, yeah.
Whenever I'm on the stories, I get like 2 new diabetic followers. And I'm like, yes.
She's an ally, like I said. She's also single. So moving on.
Oh my God. But like, yeah, I'm single. Hit me up.
Great ally, guys. Great ally.
I work really well with diabetics.
Oh my God, stop. Okay, so follow her on Instagram. Follow us on Instagram at pancreas_pals. Follow us on Facebook at pancreaspalspp. Email us because we love to hear from you. pancreaspals123@gmail.com. This has been fun. It's been eye-opening, I'm sure, for others. Definitely not for us because we live the same life. Help us.
Live the same life, but different.
Yes. Maybe I'll post a picture of me and Laura.
Just my face.
You should.
Maybe just Laura. I wonder do we have one of the three of us at your wedding? Maybe. I have to
I think my arm looks fat.
Oh my God, stop. You're beautiful. So anyone listening, one final note. Any hostility that you've heard on this is all fun and games. Laura and I love each other unconditionally.
Love,
yes. It is sibling love. We don't like to talk about our feelings, but that's our own thing. Feelings are great. Yes.
You can feel.
Yeah, okay, so I'm going to cut her off.
Don't force her to talk about it.
Yeah, I'm going to cut her off before she says anything bad. But Laura's a comedian, so take that with a grain of salt. Not the comedian part, just like...
I understand.
Anything diabetes references. Moral of, Miriam, thanks for being our constant voice of reason.
Yes.
And sorry, no questions were aimed at you today.
No, it's better. Maybe like this was a night I like listening. No, this was great.
I love
guys,
speaking. So
let
thank
us
you.
Know what you thought of this episode. Maybe we'll do a part 2 if you guys want. If this was just anxiety inducing, we'll leave as is.
I feel like love if it. Anything, it was just entertaining.
I mean, I hope so. We aim to entertain and also to enlighten people. So Laura is pancreatically capable. And she is an ally. And if you are pancreatically capable and listening, know that you can be an ally too. She is a great example. And on that lovey-dovey note, thank you guys so much for listening. And we hope you have a great week.
Bye, guys.
Thank you for having me. Oh. Love you guys.
Bye.